Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, a Thursday night edition. We've got you for a full 2 hours. We will take you until 8 o'clock tonight. At 8 o'clock, Jen Cease is going to be in with City Spotlight. So lots of sports talk here in the evening, starting with the Redbird Rush Hour last hour, then Sports Open Line the next 2 hours, and then City Spotlight coming up at 8 o'clock. As always, if you want to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, and we are with you throughout the next 2 hours. I have a number of guests that will be with us tonight. Levi Weaver, who is part of the MLB team at The Athletic. He is scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes or so at about 6:20. We'll talk some Blues hockey with Lou Korak. He's going to be with us at 6:35 as the young guys are getting on the ice and training camp is going to be starting before you know it. We're going to talk with Missouri State Athletic Director Patrick Ransdell. That's going to be at 7:20 tonight as they are in their first year in Conference USA playing FBS football, and so far it's going well. We had their football coach on earlier in the week. Now we're going to kind of talk more from a big picture standpoint of what's going on down in Springfield with that athletic department as Patrick Ransdell is going to be with us. Again, that's at 7:20, and then 7:35, our good friend Kevin Ryans from Channel 2 and Channel 11, he'll join us as well. So we got a few people on the program tonight. Cardinals lose late last night. Man, that was a weird game. It was a weird game. And it was a game where there's some really cool moments, but also a game where you were really frustrated as things went down. I'll tell you something. Last night, I'm listening to Oliver Marmol's post-game media conference. And honestly, I was kind of annoyed they lost that game. You play 13 innings, you have opportunities. The 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position from last night, that frustrated the living you know what out of me. Like, there were so many opportunities to come up with a hit. There were things that happened in the game that were annoying. Kevin and I talked about during the Redbird Rush Hour the decision to bunt for mean. I didn't like that. Yvonne Herrera's base running in that one inning was just terrible. Like, there were so many things about that game that were frustrating. And Oliver Marmol starts his post-game media session, and I am listening to it just as you listen to it. If you happen to be listening on the air last night when I played it, I don't hear it before I play it. That's the first time. And Ollie opens up with something along the lines of, yes, I'm frustrated, but I am also like excited or also happy or pleased, whatever, with some of the things that happened during the game. And my microphone was off, but I audibly gasped in that moment. I was like, it was this, come on. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? You had 9 million chances to win that freaking game. How can you see the good stuff? So that was my feeling in that moment. And that was during the network post-game show. We weren't yet to the extra inning show, so the network post-game show isn't really the time where I do opinions. It's more about just getting the information out there. And we, you know, once we get done with that and we go to extra innings, that's where opinions can come out. So that was my immediate visceral reaction. I was I was really annoyed that the Cardinals lost that game, and then I was annoyed that Ollie wanted to talk about the good stuff that happened. So that's where I was at. And then a little bit of time goes by, and I'm sitting and I'm thinking about the game, and I'm thinking about, like, as I get ready to do the extra inning show, the call in, the opinion show after Cardinals games, I kind of take inventory in my mind before that first segment of the things that I want to talk about. And I wasn't ignoring the 2-for-22. I wasn't ignoring Yvonne Herrera's terrible base running. I wasn't ignoring any of that. I wasn't even downplaying any of it. But you know what I came away with after a little bit of time? It was a really good development to see Riley O'Brien figure out a way to get out of a couple bases loaded situations in extra innings. If we're worried about what this team is going to look like moving forward, if we're worried about who can be a part of this team moving forward, well, I get a lot more out of seeing what I saw last night from Riley O'Brien than, like, I have no long-term worries about Yvonne Herrera's base running. He had a terrible base running inning. He admitted it after the game. He said, "I blanked up." And he said he knew he made the mistake on the Burleson thing when he didn't tag, and then he got in his head and he was trying to do too much and he didn't realize, you know, the time and temperature of the game, and then he ends up getting doubled off. That may never happen to Yvonne Herrera again for the rest of his career. So I can be annoyed in the moment at Herrera and him playing a part in losing that game, but that doesn't have a long-term implication. The 2-for-22 thing, that's... We've seen the team struggle with runners in scoring position over the last couple years, and it's happening again right now. So I'm not going to downplay that one, but I would still argue that the impact of seeing what we saw last night from Riley O'Brien and his, you know, the way he got out of that, the work that Matt Svaundsen did, the work that JoJo Romero did, the work that Michael McGreevy did. McGreevy's day got completely lost in everything because they played 13 stinking innings. You know, offensively, for Thomas Sejesi to come up with a big hit late and drive in a run, he had a 4-for-5 night. That was a great night for Thomas Sejesi. Great night. Team made some nice defensive plays. So I actually, as frustrated as I was in the moment with what Ollie had to say, as time started to pass, at least for me, my mind actually started going to some of the good things that happened in that game as well. And I don't know if it was just because it was 12:30 in the morning and I was delirious, or if that's really, you know, where I was at. But I started to understand that a little bit more. But that, man, that was a frustrating loss. The being, you know, happy or content or whatever it might be with some of the good things that that happened does not take away from how frustrating of a loss that was last night. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Again, we've got a bunch of guests who are going to be on the program tonight, including Levi Weaver. He's part of the team over at The Athletic, writing the wind-up MLB newsletter every single day. We'll talk with him coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. A Cardinals off night, so we've got the full show for you this evening. Cardinals will get back at tomorrow, trying to get things back going again. They got into 500, then they get swept by the Mariners, and now they're going to take on a Brewers team beginning tomorrow, who just got swept themselves by the Texas Rangers, a team that's playing some really, really good baseball right now. Let's bring in Levi Weaver. He's part of the MLB team at The Athletic, writes the wind-up MLB newsletter, and he joins us right now on the guest line. Levi, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, of course. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty good. So there's a few races right now that are still kind of interesting. The Cardinals were involved with that, playing Seattle, because that AL Wild Card and AL West are kind of up in the air right now with a few different teams, and teams the Mariners are playing good baseball, Rangers are playing good baseball. What in the final, you know, 2.5-3 weeks of the season, what races are you really watching and are you intrigued by right now?
Man, there's a lot of really good ones. I mean, the AL West, as you brought up, is a very good one. Houston lost again today, so they're only a half game up on Seattle. They're two games up on Texas. That is a three-way race there, which is a whole lot of fun. Seattle and Texas also battling it out for that third AL wild card spot. The AL East is interesting to me. You've got the Yankees and Red Sox both 3.5 games behind Toronto. Toronto was really, really hot. They're still... You know, I mean, none of those three teams have a losing record in their last 10 games, but, you know, they're not, you know, setting the world ablaze either. I think the NL West is interesting for a different reason. It's kind of that nobody's really playing very well. The Dodgers and the Padres seem to be just trading off as many losses as possible. Of course, the Dodgers did some winning against the Rockies, but that one is looks like it might come down to the wire as well. And then in the NL, the wild card has also gotten interesting because the Reds have been playing well, so now they're only a couple games back. San Francisco got hot; they're only a couple games back. The Mets are on a 5-game losing streak, so now they're in peril of losing their playoff spot. So around the league, I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost pick a series, and there's going to be some playoff implications right now.
Let's talk about the New York teams for a second. It's not often that they both give up 11 runs on the same night. That's what happened yesterday. The Yankees had been playing some pretty solid baseball. They'd won a bunch of games, and then all of a sudden they meet, admittedly, a good Detroit team. And in that first game against Detroit, I know they gave up a ton of runs in one inning. But it feels like any time you think that the Yankees are turning into that team we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season, they show reasons that maybe they're not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Blue Jays announcer, Buck Martinez, a couple of nights ago, decided it was time, and he was going to give the Yankees what for, and he just said, they're not a good team. They hit the ball really well, but they can't pitch, they can't field, they don't run, they don't play good fundamentals. They're just not a good team. All they can do is hit the ball. And that's maybe a little harsh, but also he's not entirely wrong. I mean, they are a team of mashers. They score a lot of runs, and when they don't do that, then everything else kind of lets them down. You know, Anthony Volpe might not even be playing shortstop every game from here on out because he's been so bad. Jose Caballero's getting some playing time there. Meanwhile, the Mets have just been the weirdest team in baseball for a long time. It's just kind of their calling card. If the Mets win their next 10 games in a row, I'm not going to be that surprised. And if the Mets lose their next 10 games in a row, I'm not going to be that surprised. They just can't seem to be very normal. And there's a possibility that if they do make the playoffs, their top three starting pitchers are going to be guys who have, you know, a combined right now under 20 starts in the big leagues with the three prospects they've called up. And they're very good prospects, but, man, that's surely not what they envisioned when they broke camp this spring.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm a David Stearns guy. I think so highly of him as an executive. And when he got to New York, I just thought the Mets were going to turn into basically Dodgers East and be winning at a high level all the time. And they haven't done it this year. And I don't totally know why. What do you think has led to them being as inconsistent as they've been this year?
I really don't know, and that's the worst answer. Like, you never want to give that answer as a special guest on the radio. But that's
all right.
You know, I was like, I haven't watched, you know, 100 Mets games this year, but just, you know, keeping up with the league and reading about them, there's not one thing I can point to and just be like, well, it's definitely this. If they would solve this one problem, then they'd be fine. Sometimes it's the offense, sometimes it's the pitching, Sometimes it's injuries, which is something that that's bitten just about every contender right now. But, you know, you bring up being Dodgers East, maybe they are, because the Dodgers have been kind of a letdown this month, too. So maybe there just is no magic bullet. You kind of expect you get sort of Friedman with Dodgers money, and, you know, that did work last year. You get Stearns with that, the Mets money, and you would expect it to work out a little better than it has.
You're based in the Dallas area, and we mentioned the Texas Rangers. They're arguably the hottest team in baseball. If they're not, they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. I don't know if they were left for dead, but they were the possibilities of them being a playoff team were not great. They've gone on this run. They're right there now in the race for the wild card and for the AL West. What's led to them going on? It's kind of an extended run here for them. Like it to me, and you would know better than I would, but to me, from the outside looking in, it seems like what they're doing right now is real.
Yeah, so here's a short list of players that are on the injured list for the Rangers right now. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Nathan Eovaldi, Tyler Mahle, Adolis Garcia. It's just, like, probably five of the biggest names on the team are on the injured list right now. And the biggest gaffe that I have made in writing in the windup is I devoted an entire section when Corey Seager got hurt, because they all got hurt around the same time, going, that's it. The Rangers are done. They're all hurt. Like, cash it in, it's over. And they have had just an influx of guys with not a lot of major league experience. It's guys like, you know, raise your hand if you recognize any of these names: Cody Freeman, Michael Hellman, Dustin Harris, Alejandro Osuna. Like, these are guys that are either rookies or, in fact, they are all technically rookies. Michael Hellman's 29 years old and has kind of bounced around a little bit. And they just swept the Brewers. I mean, Michael Hellman, he robbed a two-run home run in the fifth inning the other night, and then in the very next half inning, hit a two-run home run. It was his fifth career home run, and two of them came against the Brewers. One was a grand slam to win the first game, and the other was the difference in the second game. So it's really fun to watch, because it's just guys who are excited to be there. Is it real? I don't know. Can you bank on those types of players to really take you deep into a postseason? Baseball is a weird sport. Sure, maybe it would be one of the more improbable playoff runs I've seen. Is it real is a really good question. I kind of think no, but it's okay. Fun to watch right now.
Yeah, the Hellman thing is especially funny for people in St. Louis, because he was in spring with the Cardinals, didn't look good at all, went to AAA, hit 185 at Memphis. He ended up somewhere else before he went to the Rangers, and then all of the
Pirates, yeah.
Yeah, so we all saw him. We had a front row seat to Hellman not looking like a Major League Baseball player in Jupiter, Florida, and now all of a sudden he's seemingly the best baseball player in the world.
Yeah, and I got a chance to talk to him the other day, and he's just such a, like, he almost seems as perplexed by it as everybody else. Like, just sort of this, aw shucks, I don't know, I'm just happy to be here mentality. And I love stories like that. I love the guy who was just not very good, who goes on a run. Now, most of the time, those guys don't end up being, like, long-term stars. You've got, you know, I guess maybe Jose Bautista is a good example of somebody who did that in the past. I'm not saying guys never officially turn a corner and make it for the rest of their careers, but it kind of does feel like a flash in the pan. We'll see how it goes.
Super good dude. You got to be happy for him for sure. We're joined right now by Levi Weaver, writes for The Athletic, covering Major League Baseball. I know that the Cardinals have not given you a reason to pay extreme attention to them this year, being basically a 500 club for most of the season, especially after their good run in May. But from you know, an outsider's point of view looking in, what do you see from this season this year as they get ready for the first year of Heim Bloom's president of baseball operations role next year?
Yeah, I think it's worth investing a little excitement into the Cardinals. I expected them to be very bad this year. I mean, the messaging in the offseason was not in these terms, but in the, you know, more diplomatic terms that front offices use. It's going to be bad this year. I mean, they traded off veterans. They tried to trade Nolan Arenado, couldn't do it. We're going to let the young guys play and see what we've got. And everybody kind of just went, okay, well, let's just pencil them in for last place, because we forgot about the Pittsburgh Pirates existing. And they came out and made it interesting for a while. And, you know, I don't think that, what are they, like 4.5 games back? I guess they're not technically eliminated yet this year, but it's probably not going to happen. But I think there's cause to be excited. Let's see how Mason Wynn recovers from this meniscus tear. I think it's really interesting that he's continuing to play because apparently he can't make it worse. But they've got some good pieces. It's just a matter of, like, I mean, as is the case with any rebuild, like, how do those guys develop in years 2 and 3? And then what sort of investments does the front office make when it looks like they've got a little traction?
He is Levi Weaver. You read him at The Athletic. He does the baseball newsletter every day. For folks who want to get that newsletter, what's the best way to go about doing that?
You know, there is a specific link, but I never can remember it, and it's maybe a little complicated. If you just Google my name, Levi Weaver, and the Windup, you could actually, an easier name to remember will be Ken Rosenthal. He writes it with me. Okay. Ken Rosenthal, the Windup. It'll be the first search result that you get. Don't click on the AI result. Click on the real results. And it's a free newsletter. You don't even have to be subscribed to The Athletic to get our newsletter. It's 5 days a week.
Awesome. Very good. Levi, we appreciate the time. Have a good final few weeks of the baseball season. Hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Right on. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Levi Weaver joining us from The Athletic and the daily baseball newsletter that they do. The Windup is what it's called. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll talk some Blues hockey. Luke Korak is going to be with us. That's up next. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, believe it or not, we are we're coming up on hockey season. It is not going to be that long. High expectations for the St. Louis Blues after what happened last year, and actually some Blues players already getting on to the ice. Training camp's officially going to open up here pretty soon, but some prospects are getting on the ice, and we're very happy to welcome on, we'll say for the first time this year, and he'll join us hopefully a few times as the year goes along. He's our good friend Luke Korak. You read him at NHL.com. He's also the Blues side editor with the Hockey News. Follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, thanks for taking the time. Hopefully you've had a wonderful last few months, and I'm glad you're able to actually be back covering things that are happening on the ice once again.
Yeah, it was a little different walking into Centene today just to, you know, hear pucks and sticks and whatnot. It's been a moment, but glad to get back at it. And I'm sure you're tired of hearing the same rhetoric about Cardinal baseball here and there. So we'll mix in a little bit of hockey here for you anytime, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's great, and I'm really excited about what the Blues are going to do this year. Explain for our listeners, because training camp's not getting underway, but prospect camp is. What does that look like? Who's there? What are they actually going to do before training camp officially gets started?
Well, the prospects were on the ice this morning, and they'll be out there again tomorrow before they depart for Minnesota and take on the Wild Friday night, and then Chicago on Saturday night, just a quick two games in and out of there. Kind of the same deal that they had last year. I think it's a pretty neat thing that the three teams do. It's pretty simple. It's pretty quick. It's an easy trip for everybody. It was here last year, and it just rotates every year. It was actually supposed to be in Chicago this year, but they're doing, my understanding is they're doing some repairs, I believe, or I don't know if it has anything to do with any kind of expansion or anything, but apparently the building in Chicago, their practice facility, wasn't available, so it's back in Minnesota. Again, just the prospects in there. Carbono, Dvorsky is here. A lot of the first round picks. Juracek, Stenberg is playing. Theo Lindstein's playing. So a lot of good prospects are going to be part of it for the Blues, and it's actually a pretty neat thing to see, because the top line consists of all three first round picks, mm-hmm. and that top D pairing that you saw are also first round picks. So we'll be for hockey fans that want to get their craving. The games are going to be on the YouTube channel, I believe. The Blues are going to be televising them, and you'll get to see a lot of the future in action this weekend before things get underway in main camp a week from today.
Yeah, it's almost, you kind of salivate what's going to be coming, and most of those guys probably aren't that far away from being with the Blues.
No, and it's funny because we talked to Justin Carbono today, and just the route that he took instead of going to Boston College. I mean, he had the opportunity to make that choice, and the Blues were fully supportive of whatever he decided to do, whether it was go the college route or decide to go back to juniors. And if he would have gone to college, Matt, he would not have been a part of this. He would not have been allowed to be a part of this. I think that a lot of that played into it. He talked about it today, and I wanted to ask him just, you know, what his reasonings, what was the tipping point for him? And I think this kid firmly believes that he's going to come in and give it his all and to make the team out of training camp. And the one thing he says is he's got nothing to lose. And I think that's a great attitude to take, because you know what? I think he's comfortable with whatever happens, whether he surprises and woos and wows management and the coaching staff here and wins a job. He's going to have to take a job from somebody. And that's going to be the biggest challenge and the most difficult thing that's going to have to happen here. And they could keep him here for 9 games before they decide whether they want to send him back to juniors or whether they think that he can make the cut and make the team. So there's plenty of options here, and I think he's comfortable. If the Blues decide that he's not quite ready to make the NHL, he's quite comfortable going back to his junior team in the QMJHL and making a run there, because he feels like they have a really good team that could win that league there and compete for a Memorial Cup. So he's got a lot of motivation, and same thing with Dalibor Dvorsky, who we got to talk to today as well. This seems like a really motivated kid to come in to try to win a spot out of training camp this year.
Is it an NCAA thing on why they would not be allowed to participate if they're playing college hockey?
It is. Without looking at it here, and I apologize for that, there have been some ramifications to that stuff, but yes, and that's why I think he wanted to have multiple options here, and you know, it wouldn't have been a bad thing for him. I mean, his options were to go back to junior or go to Boston College, and we know Boston College is a pretty darn good hockey program. They've been a top tier team for a long, long time. So he would have been able to go there and really excel and kind of take the route that Jimmy Snuggerud did. And I think we're already seeing ramifications of just by going the collegiate route, how things have turned out for Jimmy Snuggerud. The Blues already know they've got themselves an NHL caliber player. So if he would have chosen that route, they would have been just as supportive and comfortable in that decision as well. But I just think that this kid wants the opportunity. He feels like he owes it to the program that has brought him along, that he said today, for 3 years now. And he firmly, but I don't think if they were going to have a team that wasn't going to be able to compete for a championship this year, I think that it might have swayed him to go the other way. But I think he firmly believes that they have a good enough team to compete for a championship just in case he's not able to win a job out of training camp this year. So he had a couple of options there, and he felt like that was the right one to take.
I know this isn't what we brought you on to talk about, but just real quickly, if you're NCAA hockey and you are basically competing against junior programs for top-level players, wouldn't it make sense to put some type of rule in where college hockey players can go participate in prospect camps with teams that drafted them? If that's going to keep a player out of college hockey, really, you know, messing yourself up and not allowing yourself to get your best players.
I agree, and that's why I think you saw in that situation with the Blues, they were wanting Snuggerud to come out the year before last. They were wanting him to come out then. He himself just didn't feel like he was ready. And I think, I don't want to say they begrudgingly agreed with his decision, I think they wanted to show their support, and they understood why he wanted to stay back and continue to hone in on his craft and get better. And you have to applaud and appreciate the player for feeling like, hey, I'm not ready to come here now to be good enough to play and be a part of this and be a part of the solution for this organization. But in that regard, they didn't have the opportunity to do it themselves. And I think that's what the team really appreciates about this situation with Carboneau, is the fact that now they can get him here now, they can watch him now, they can work with him. Now they'll get him into training camp as well. And if all goes well, great. If it doesn't, there's always the option of going back to junior. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's something that I think needs to at least be amended, because otherwise you're going to have more of these guys now. And you also have it's funny because Tomas Mrsic, who's one of the Blues draft picks from last year, he's going to Colorado College this year. He actually left junior hockey to go play in the NCAA. So things are starting to get amended, but I think if you're going to make this completely right, I think that these guys should be allowed to be with their NHL teams, because after all, this is their dream and this is what they're striving for to begin with.
So if there's three options for Carboneau, where he could either just be sent back to junior hockey right away, where he could play a few games with the team and then get sent back, or he could actually make the team. Of those three possibilities, which one do you think is the most likely?
I think it's going to be awfully difficult for him to win a job. He is going to have to come in and just absolutely shine. And I think it starts with these two games. He's got to go up to these next two games and already leave an impression with whoever's going to go up and watch the Blues in this competition next two games. And he's really going to have to go in and like I said, win a job, take a job from somebody. I honestly think he's going to go back and play in junior this year. The kid's big enough and he's strong enough right now. I really like his physical stature. But as a lot of the executives will always say, you can always get bigger and stronger, because, you know, you're talking about an 18-year-old now that's going to try to win a job and try to compete against grown men who are doing this for a living. It's quite a big difference, and at times it can quite be the cultural shock for some of these guys. So I think he's going to give it his best shot, but it's going to be awfully tough for him to do it. I honestly think unless he just comes in and stands on his head and has this incredible training camp, I think you're going to see him in junior hockey this year. I wouldn't leave out the option of them keeping him around for the nine games. They did this with Jake Neighbors here recently, and look what it's done for him. They did it with Alex Pietrangelo twice. And I can remember when Alex Pietrangelo, at least the second time when they decided to send him back to juniors, he was visibly upset. And I think that was a great thing. And we've saw what kind of a player he's turned out to be. So I wouldn't rule that out. But I honestly believe that it's going to be awfully tough for him to win a job. And he's probably going to wind up playing in juniors this year.
Isn't it incredible how quick this comes? Because the prospect camp's going on right now. We're 9 days away from their first preseason game. Training camp, actual training camp, will get underway in just a few days. And I mean, before you know it, the regular season is here. It's amazing how quickly this all comes up on us.
Matt, I always tell everybody, that's what I love about hockey, is the fact that these guys, basically, they have to come in shape. I mean, you saw out there today, and I got a chance to watch them for a little bit before I went to watch the prospects. The main guys are already out there. They're having their captain skates. The captains usually organize this stuff where they're getting together. And you don't use this. This is basically their training camp. Basically started a couple of weeks ago, and it's basically you're doing it on your own, because you don't use training camp in the NHL to come in and try to get in shape. You better have yourself in shape by the time you get here, because once they get going, yeah, it's a couple of practices and it's off and running. Unlike, you know, where you're talking about baseball, where you have a month of spring training, or the NFL, where you're in training camp for a month. Not in this game. I mean, you have to come in ready to go, and I think that's what's great about this. And moving on, you're gonna when you wind up seeing this turn into what, an 84 game schedule, you're probably gonna see preseason games reduced down. So there's gonna be even less preseason games and just more time for these guys to have to utilize for themselves to be ready to go once camp officially gets going.
Luke Korak, he's awesome. We love talking hockey with him. You can read him at NHL.com, also at the Hockey News covering the Blues. Follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, thanks so much. I know you know that we'll be ringing your phone fairly often here over the course of the year, and we always appreciate you being so willing to come on.
No problem. Anytime, Matt. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Luke Korak talking. That feels good. That feels good to talk a little Blues hockey. Not that we're done talking about the Cardinals. We're not. But like this summer, I don't think it's been a bad year for the Cardinals, but we're kind of at a point now where it's just like what's left to be accomplished. And we've talked about this a lot. Like there are still some things, staying in mathematical contention as long as possible. There is some value in that, seeing them fight, do all of that. But it has not been the year that we would have liked it to be, especially after they went on that run in May and raised expectations. It's been a terrible season for City SC, just terrible. And so we finally, there's some positivity, some good things to talk about when we're talking about the Blues. Obviously, a lot of good things to talk about area-wise with college football with Mizzou in Illinois, and we'll spend a lot of time on that as well. Right now, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. Appreciate you being with us tonight. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap up hour number one of the program, and hour number two, we've got a whole lot coming up. We'll have a few guests that are going to join us. We are going to be joined at 7:20 by Missouri State Athletics Director Patrick Ransdell. What an exciting time for Missouri State. And I realized that it was a controversial decision to leave the Missouri Valley Conference and a lot of people in St. Louis because of the Valley being here and us, the shared love that most sports fans in St. Louis have for the Missouri Valley Conference. When they leave that league, there's hurt feelings. At the same time, it's an opportunity for them to play at a higher level, and so far so good for them. So it is a changing time right now at Missouri State. And we'll talk with Patrick Ransdell, their athletic director, who came in after that decision was made. So that's going to be one of the things I asked him about was how he felt about that decision, knowing that the guy who made that decision basically wasn't going to be there to implement that decision. So that's going to be at 7:20. And then Kevin Ryans is going to join us at 7:35. Also want to mention real quickly, congratulations going out to former Blues TV broadcaster John Kelly, as he has a new job. And we didn't know whether or not he would be calling hockey this year. It felt like when the decision was made that the Blues were going to go to just one broadcast where they were going to simulcast their TV broadcast on radio, that maybe that happened at a point where it was going to be tough for John, who's obviously very good at what he does, that it was going to be tough for him to find a new spot. Well, he has found a new spot, and he's going to be calling games for the Los Angeles Kings. So congratulations to him for that. That's good. We're happy that he is definitely continuing to broadcast hockey. That's going to do it for hour number one. More coming up in just a moment here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.